Hello and welcome to another one of my Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Now today I wanted to talk about a subject that is very close to my heart because this is something that is very familiar with me. I wanted to talk about weight management. I wanted to talk about diets. I wanted to talk about overeating. I wanted to talk about emotional eating. Now, I say this is really close to my heart because this is something that I've kind of experienced myself for many years, but also to the point of about 4 years ago, I wrote a book about this and it was quite well received, actually. It's still on Amazon. If you wanted to look it up, it's How to Stop Emotional Eating. If you just put in Dr. Jane McCartney, you'd find it. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this because it's a topic that so many people struggle with. And often when we talk about emotional eating, people just think, oh, well, my emotions are all over the place because of X, Y, Z that's going on in my life. Therefore, I can never do anything about it. And you can. And that was the message that I particularly wanted to put over in the book. And I particularly want to put over now that no matter what happens to us, because unless we're going to put ourselves in a tin box all by ourselves, life is going to happen. And with that life comes emotions. So I'm going to illustrate today by talking about somebody we're going to call her Kate. Now, just a bit of background about Kate. She was coming up to a wedding, and this is one of the reasons why she ended up coming to see me. Obviously, happy time in her life, had a lovely supportive fiance, coming up to a wedding, had a good job, but she'd gone to have a wedding dress fitting, and it really upset her because the person in the shop had said, oh, you know, really rather unusually, I end up making alterations for people because they're losing weight for their wedding. This is really unusual. I'm having to let yours out. You put on weight. And she just found it so incredibly devastating, and it really affected her mood, and it was taking the shine of the whole wedding and everything. A bit of background about Kate. She is the oldest of two sisters. Quite successful, as I say, she works up in the city, she enjoys her work. She's got a younger sister who she describes as being quite challenging, you know, she's being diplomatic when she says that. And food had always been an issue from a really young age for Kate. There wasn't much between them, there was only something like about, I think about 12 months or something between them, I can't quite remember, but anyway. But she'd been fine, she'd been a healthy eater, nothing, you know, not under-eating, not overeating when she was young, so absolutely nothing at all. But when her sister came along, she'd been an early baby, and one of the things was that she was a poor eater right from the beginning. And of course, you know, mum and dad used to worry about this, especially her mum, and she always used to say, she said one of her abiding memories of being a youngster was being given, you know, nice things to eat and treats to eat and things when she kind of felt she didn't really need them. But her mum always used to say, well, as long as one of my girls is eating okay, she was happy. So that almost obligated Kate to have to eat anything that was put in front of her. She said when she was away at university, her mum, you know, out of a kindness, but it was something she perhaps didn't really want, she would order her pizzas to be sent to her halls, and then she'd phone up and Kate would say, no, no, she's had them and stuff. And because she had an appetite on her, she'd often eat all of these things, but she knew it wasn't doing her weight any good. Now, we think about situations as well, you know, when I get people to say, to think about that, when they get to that point where they're just about, you know, Kate used to go out at lunch times and kind of often quite dive into, literally, this is what she said, she'd dive into a massive great big cream cake or two or three donuts, which she knew wasn't doing her any good, but she would just do that. Then she'd feel bad because she'd eaten the cake or the donuts, and then the whole cycle would start again. She'd be kind of looking for food to comfort her. You know, comfort eating is also emotional eating, of course it is. But you know, what I tried to get her to do was just look at every single time that this was happening. And what was going on? There was a few issues at work that were going on. She'd been brought in to replace somebody, and this person that she'd replaced didn't particularly like Kate. Kate was a very nice person. She had lots of friends. She had lots of support. She was very popular, very likable. And that was, you know, what she got from work. She was, you know, her feedback from people at work. But this one particular person who was very bitter about the fact that Kate had basically been brought in to replace her. And then instead of kind of being sacked, she was kind of moved sideways because she'd been there forever. But then, you know, she would start little campaigns and things. And there was an incident over this person that had brought in a birthday cake for herself, as was the, you know, tradition with the office. And, you know, you cut it up, give it to everybody. And she specifically hadn't sent any over to where Kate was, which, you know, on one hand, Kate didn't mind because she wasn't particularly interested about eating the cake, but she was obviously feeling a bit hurt. And then afterwards, she talked about how, you know, that lunchtime, that's where she went off and got her own cake to kind of, as we say, compensate for what was going on there. When she got back, somebody had actually said, no, you hadn't been given any. And they'd made a specific point of bringing some over to Kate, which, of course, left her with that bit of conflict that she, you know, she had the cake, she didn't want to eat. But anyway, you know, she ate a bit of it and gave it to somebody else. It wasn't that much of a thing, but it was things like that. So little worky things that were going on. And the bigger thing, of course, was with her sister. Kate had gone to university. She'd kind of got her fiancé. They got their own place together. You know, they were getting on with their lives. They had a future. Whereas her sister, she'd been a dropout of university. She'd been difficult at school. There was always the whole thing about her not eating, inappropriate relationships. You know, she'd gone into a bit of, you know, drugs and alcohol. And, you know, she was still living at home. When she was planning her wedding, you know, again, she talked about that. Of course, you know, her sister was going to be included in everything. But the moment that they talked about a wedding, literally the first question that her mum was asking her was, oh, you know, is your sister going to be one of the bridesmaids? If she's going to be chief bridesmaid? And again, it kind of obliged Kate to be doing stuff that, on the one hand, she said she would have got round to anyway because she was her sister, but it obliged her to having to do it. So we've got all this going on for Kate all the time. And then just another little thing, it was a nice thing, but it kind of had, again, a bit of awkwardness for Kate. When she was having a hard time at work, say, or with her sister, her husband used to kind of be very, you know, intuitive of what was going on for her, and to try and cheer her up. Of course, he would buy a bottle of wine and a box of chocolates, which, again, Kate was very grateful for his thoughts. But it was, you know, it was stuff that was calorie laden, which she just didn't want this time. And that was an easy one to do because, you know, she just talked to him, explained to him the situation. Of course, he understood it. He was just being, you know, he was being kind, but he was just being a little bit kind of ignorant about her situation, about calorie intake and things like that, because, you know, something that just wasn't ever on his agenda. So, you know, he would then swap it for flowers. So Kate used to get nice bunches of flowers, which she was, you know, internally grateful for. So we had the situation with her sister on everything, and then about the time of their marriage as well, it just coincided that it was going to be the mum and dad's big wedding anniversary, which her and her sister had said that they would organise as well. They were going to have a party or something, I can't remember, there was something going on, and they were going to her and her sister were going to divide up the work between this. And she said, you know, they'd agree to do something, and her sister, who wasn't working, potentially could do more stuff because she had more time. But more and more Kate ended up taking on stuff because her sister just wasn't doing it, and she didn't want to let her mum and dad down. And then, as she said, it used to grate her a little bit because then, of course, her sister was getting just as much credit for doing something that she wasn't doing. But, you know, that's a whole family dynamic thing that's going there. But it's important because what we did, when Kate would have those urges about wanting to eat, I'd get people to do sort of like a flight of steps and, you know, five steps and what's led you to that point. And the thing that it might be the here and now, you know, the person at work had been awful to her. You know, that's a here and now. It's raining and she's just, you know, trod in a puddle or something. And, you know, the here and now. But then look at the bigger stuff, the stuff that's always there, the relationship with her sister. Kind of, you know, mum and dad were nice people, but you couldn't help overhearing about how mum would always be there trying to make it right for her sister. Not really understanding that by doing that, she wasn't exactly making it right for Kate. So that was an area that she knew that she was going to have to do something about. So, ultimately she spoke to her dad about this because he wasn't quite so much in it like her mum would instantly be in it. You know, your sister will be a bridesmaid, won't she? That type of thing. But he was observing, so he knew that stuff was going on. So in the end, she ended up having a chat with him, who then had a chat with the mum, who, you know, she was a bit kind of devastated because she didn't realise that Kate was feeling like this, because Kate would just go along with everything and had done for years. But she soon was able to kind of check in, you know, with her before she made any further decisions. Now, when it comes to emotional eating, and this is another thing that I got Kate to do, and this is something I do get everybody to do, when you have that moment and you're just about to eat, whether it's a, you know, a cream cake, donuts, packet of crisps, you know, chips, whatever it is, you give yourself 10 minutes. Everybody can give themselves 10 minutes. Now, in that 10 minutes, you might want to do your little kind of step process, and you might like to think, oh, what is it that's, you know, getting on my nerves to this point? Or you might want to just completely distract yourself and read something on your phone or play a game or just listen to some music or something. But you are giving yourself 10 minutes not to instantly eat, because it's that instant eat that starts the cycle all over again. And if you can do that, you will be doing yourself a huge favour, because Kate came back and she reported that, you know, as we say, everybody can give themselves 10 minutes, so it's not a big ask. And what happens, Kate said this, and also, you know, a lot of people report this, if you can give yourself 10 minutes, you don't eat the thing that you were going to eat in the first place. And also, another absolute rule is out of sight, out of mind. So get the stuff out of your sight. Don't just sit there for 10 minutes. I once worked with a lady who she was working in an office, and she and this other person were going to go on a diet together. She was doing really well, but this other person that she was doing it with wasn't. And then very soon, this person used to bring cakes and donuts in, and, you know, she'd be trying to sabotage this other person because she didn't want to be the only fat one in the office. You know, that was her quote to the lady that I worked with. So you've got to be aware of what's going on around. I also, you know, when it comes to, you know, all emotional issues, but especially when it comes to comfort eating, emotional eating, I kind of do sort of like a, what I call a mini moment. So just think about, you know, this is the five steps thing. Think about what's going on for you here and now and what you can do about it. But also, if it's something that needs, and you do just that for, you know, 10 minutes, no more than that. And if it's something that really does need exploring and changing, such as Kate talking to her dad about her mum, kind of come back to it and allow yourself further time to think about it. Don't dwell on it. Don't spend too long on it, because, you know, you'll end up kind of thinking about all sorts of things. It's good to have an old-fashioned pen and piece of paper, because writing down your thoughts is tremendously useful, because once you've written something down, then it is no longer just a thought. And you can come back to it. You might like to kind of reflect on it. Or actually, you could just look at it and think, actually, I was putting too much attention and too much importance to that, when it's not really that important. To bring you up to date with Kate, she sent me some pictures of her wedding. In the end, she said that she'd actually had the realterations done on her dress, that she'd had them taken in a bit. She was mindful of that, and she was so pleased that she was able to go back to the wedding dress shop and kind of, not necessarily prove them wrong, but, you know, it made her feel good when they actually had to take in the wedding dress that they'd taken out. It went backwards and forwards, but she was so pleased that she'd got to that point. And she was having a really good life. Her sister, of course, naturally enough, played up on the wedding day, but that had, we talked about that, and that had been expected, and there were a few plans in place for that. She'd actually got her now husband's sister to be ready to kind of deal with her if she needed to. Always have a plan B, always have a plan B, C, and, you know, if the person's really difficult, you know, go down the alphabet, because if they don't misbehave, then that's the bonus, but be ready for when people do. But that's another one, and I will cover that more a little bit in further podcasts. So yeah, just, you know, top tips, 10 minutes. Just give yourself 10 minutes. Think about what's going on if you want to, but if you don't, then distract yourself, and then you can come back to the thing that you were going to eat, and you just probably won't eat it, but just keep it out of sight as well. And also, you might just go off and do something else. I have been Dr. Jane. This has been a Dr. Jane 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to get the new podcasts into your inbox. And also, if you look on drjane.co.uk under podcasts, you'll see all the back catalogue of all the podcasts I've made. I will speak to you again very, very soon.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to hear future episodes. Dr. Jane can be found on all the usual social media. Feel free to get in contact for topics and questions for future episodes of Dr. Jane's Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Dr. Jane cannot enter into personal correspondence. If you have an emergency or crisis, contact your GP or emergency services.